Jesus chose, and the Father and Jesus agreed that when he came to earth, that the Son would submit himself to the Father. But it was by total agreement of the Godhead. So that Jesus didn't lose anything, he just chose to submit himself to the Father.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of From Humiliation to Exaltation. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of From Humiliation to Exaltation.
Washing my clothes. And the Spirit of the Lord came to me in a vision. And I'm just going to tell you the way the Lord told me. This is the way he told me. He said, boy, you sure taught those Negroes a lesson, didn't you? Yeah. Yeah, I had every right not to get it fixed. Every right not to get it fixed. But you know, sometimes you got to surrender your rights. See, and sometimes when you don't surrender your rights, you just make the situation difficult for yourself too. So Jesus, what did he do? Jesus, he gave it up. He didn't see it as something, his right to do whatever he wanted. He didn't see that as something to be grasped and held on to, but he was willing to let it go. It also says that he became a servant. He gave up his right to be served so that he could serve others. Well, what about us? Sometimes, you know, we must give up our right to be served in order that we can serve others. And after all, isn't that what? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who became a servant. Are you a servant? Are you one that offers your gifts and talents in service to the Lord? The next thing, and we don't want to hear this next one now, but especially if you are in certain belief systems, you don't want to hear this, but I'm going to give it to you anyways. It says that he, verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This talks about the process. It's not talking about, well, it is talking about death ultimately, but more than this right now, the point that I'm trying to make, he's talking about the process. Watch this. Christ submitted himself to the process of death. And if any of you have seen The Passion, then you know what the process of death was like. And all you got to do is go back and either read the end of the Gospels or watch the movie. Christ submitted himself to the process of death. And what did that involve for him? Why do they call it passion? Because his sufferings. God sometimes, God sometimes calls us to suffer. I know that's not a popular doctrine today. I know that's not the doctrine that people want to hear today. We want to hear about the resurrection and we want to hear about the victory. But sometimes God calls us to suffer. If he didn't, he wouldn't have said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind did he have that he had to endure suffering at the hand of God? And sometimes the suffering will come in your life. And I'm not going to say that, you know, God has centered it your way. But God definitely opens up your life and allows suffering to come into it. And when we come to those places, you know, it's been, me and my wife were talking yesterday. I lost my mother. She lost her mother. I lost a cousin killed violently. She just lost a cousin. Head-on collision, tractor trailer. I lost an aunt. And she was saying, well, I hope that, you know, I'm not hearing any bad news. But, you know, this just been a year of just one thing after another. And, you know, sometimes you have seasons of suffering. And God realizes that life, a normal part of life is suffering. And when you go through suffering, now once again, You're either in a trial, you just got out of a trial, or you're getting ready to go into one. You know, everybody in here is one of those situations. If I was asked, and I don't raise your hand, but if I was asked, how many are in it right now? Some of y'all say, Pastor Glaze, I'm in the fire right now. I'm in it. All up in it. But you got to have the mind of Christ. That sometimes suffering becomes a part of life. And then ultimately, it says he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Christ gave his life, and he died on the cross for others. Sometimes the believer has to be willing to make sacrifices for God and for the good of other people. Sometimes you have to leave. Some of y'all, it's going to be a sacrifice if Pastor Glaze today preaches past 12:30. Because it's going to take me 15 minutes to get home, 5 minutes to get my chips and drink, another 5 minutes to need to tune up. And if I'm late one minute after, oh, man, the world is going to end if I'm one minute late. For some of y'all, that's a sacrifice today. Wow, man, you know, it's sad to say. Sad to say. Some people went to Bedside Baptist this morning, and they heard Pastor Pillow and Reverend Sheets preach because they wanted to catch the 1 o'clock start. I'll leave that alone. Back up from that, Pastor. Back up from that. But, you know, sometimes God calls us to make a sacrifice. He calls us to give sacrificially. You know, it's nothing to give in your means. Anybody can give in your means, but sometimes the call on us is to give sacrificially. And that's, I hate to keep saying this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was his mindset? His mindset was a sacrifice. And sometimes God calls us to sacrifice. But we have bad attitude about it because, you know, what do we say? Something? Oh, man, you know, I can't believe this. You know, I heard the story about this lady who was having a birthday party for her son. And as she had this birthday party, she got these clowns, and they were supposed to come and entertain the children. But they weren't there. But she heard a knock at the door, and it was two homeless men. And they were looking to make some money. And she told them, well, if you want to make some money, just go ahead out in the back. I got some wood out there. If you'll chop it, I'll pay you for chopping the wood. So party went on. The kids began to get restless because there was no entertainment. And so eventually the lady was starting to get upset because, you know, she wanted to have a successful party. She looked out the window, and the kids looked out the window, and they started laughing and jumping. And they were having a good time looking out the window. And what happened is that one of the guys that she had got to cut the wood was jumping around, doing somersaults, backflips, rolling over. And the kids were just clapping and screaming. And she said, well, since the clowns are not here, maybe these guys can be the entertainment. And so she went over there, and she saw the other guy. He was rolling around on the ground. And she talked to the other man, and she said, hey, she said, do you think that if I paid him that he could do all that again? And the guy said, well, I'll go ask him. Man was over there holding his hand, rolling around on the ground. And she went over there and she said, he said, hey, that lady wants to know if you'll cut off another finger for $50. Now listen to this. As he was laying there, what came to his mind? Oh no, not another sacrifice. And you know what? That's the same way God's people are sometimes. Oh, no, not another sacrifice. Oh, no, not another meeting to go to. Oh, no, not another rehearsal. Oh, no, not another visitation. Oh, no, not another Bible study. And we, some great sacrifice. Look what Christ did for us. He went to the cross. And he died for us. Let me move on to the exaltation. From humiliation to exaltation. First of all, we see an exalted destination. It says, wherefore, God also have highly exalted him. And as look at your notes, the phrase highly exalted comes from the Greek words hooper, which means above, and hoopso, which means to exalt. It means that Christ was raised to the highest rank. That he came here as a servant, and now he is exalted to the highest rank. He was, in his humanity, he was a slave, the lowest of the low. In his exaltation, he rose to a rank achievable that was not achievable by any other human being. Now, I know he was God, but he was also human too. And Christ achieved a level of exaltation that no one in humanity could ever come close to. God sometimes wants to humble us so he can raise us up. The doctrine of exaltation. What is the doctrine of exaltation? The doctrine of exaltation is that Christ is lifted up and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, that he's highly exalted. But what does that mean for me and you? What does that mean for me and you? The first thing that it means, that we have a great high priest making intercession for us. Oh, my goodness. Isn't it good to know that when you get down on your knees and you pray to the Father, that your heart might not be in the right place, you might not pray theologically the right way. I know if I go back and think of some of the prayers that I prayed when I first got saved, you know, I know that they were theologically incorrect, but thank God for the intercessor that does what? That fixes them up. That Christ is at the right hand and he's interceding for us. And that is that if I'm driving down the street and somebody cuts me off, and once again, I don't cuss. I haven't cussed since I got saved, but if I was to cuss, now some of y'all, you know, I don't know if y'all can, I might be talking to some of y'all this morning, but if when somebody cuts you off, all right, you know who you are, all right? See, I can't use myself because I don't cuss, but I've heard Christians cuss. Do Christians cuss? Do they cuss? Oh, okay. I just wanted to hear somebody say that. That's all I was looking for. For somebody, yeah, right. But you're riding down the street. Somebody pulls you off and pulls in front of you. You cuss them out. Unsaved person drives down the street. Somebody pulls in front of them. They cuss them out. What's the difference? The difference is that, Father, look, I know he's being stupid right now. And I know that he shouldn't have said that. I know that that's not, I'm trying to get something. I know that that's not becoming of a Christian, but Father, that's why I died on the cross. And Father, right now I pray that you will forgive him because I'm exalted in heaven, I'm seated at the right hand, and I'm interceding for so-and-so. But see, now when the unsaved, who's interceding for them? It's on you, baby. If you don't know Christ, it's on you. You got that one yourself. Oh, aren't you glad that Christ is exalted? Woo, aren't you glad that he's exalted this morning? Aren't you glad that he's lifted up? And every time we slip and fall, that we have someone who's making intercession for us. The next thing that we see is that not only in this doctrine of exaltation do we have a high priest, but James lets us know we have an example of the results of humility. Look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 10. James chapter 4 and verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. That's the promise. That's the promise. Can I share a story with you? Personal story. Let me share a personal story. When I was at, and I know when I mention this name that different people in here have different emotions and feelings, but let me tell my story. Can I tell my testimony? When I was at Liberty, all these guys, man, they wanted to get to know Dr. Falwell. They would run up to him and give him cars and, you know, all the time. Everybody would, you know, all the young guys, they wanted to run up and they wanted to get to know Dr. Falwell. I said, man, Lord, I said, I want to know him. I said, I'm going to this school. I said, I want to know him, Lord. And I just tried to, you know, do what it was that God called me to do and be faithful to what it was that God called me to do. And then they had this sermon contest. And I entered the sermon contest. Make a long story short, God blessed me. And I know it was God. God blessed me. And I won the sermon contest. And when I won the sermon contest, I got to preach in chapel in front of 3,000 people and Dr. Falwell. See, sometimes when you try to lift yourself up, you're not lifted up by God. If you will just humble yourself, if you will just let God fight the battles for you, if you will let God go before you, he'll lift you up. Some of you young people today, you want to be successful and you want people to notice you. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. And God will have a way to maneuver, and God will have a way to twist and turn, and God will have a way to get you lifted up. But it'll be lifted up God's way. God will lift you up his way. He said, humble yourselves in the sight. Notice the key there. In the sight of the Lord, in God's sight. Humble yourself in God's sight. He'll lift you up. The doctrine of the exaltation. Two important things. We have a great high priest making intercession, and we have an example of the results of humility. And I'll close with my final point this morning. And as we look at this, an exclusive, well, actually, I got 2 points, but they'll be quick. That's the hook, man. All right. That's the hook. All right. An exclusive destination. Look what it says here in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. This word, that the name that he's given, is actually found in verse 11. And it says, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now stay with me, stay with me. This word is deep. The word Lord is the Greek word kurios. In the Old Testament translation of the Greek called the Septuagint, the word Yahweh had to be translated in the Greek. And the word that they used to translate Yahweh into Greek was the word kurios. It says here, what was his name? His name was kurios. His name, oh, watch this. His name was Yahweh. Well, what's so significant about Yahweh? Moses, at the burning bush, asked God, who should I say sent me when I go to the Israelites? And God said, tell them that I am. That same, you know what that word there is? It's the word Yahweh. When they ask who sent you, tell them that Yahweh sent you. Tell them that I am sent you. Jesus has been given a name that's above every name. What is the name that's above every name? It's the name Yahweh. It's lifted up high and above. No one can compare to Jesus Christ. And my last point, you can go past that, all right? The last point is we have an exalted destination, an exclusive designation, and then finally, an extreme declaration. He says here in verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, the places of the declaration? Where is this declared? Where will they call Jesus Lord? In heaven, angels and saints will call him Lord. Of things in the earth, the residents of this earth will call him Lord. Of things under the earth, well, who's under the earth, figuratively speaking? Satan, demons, and the unsaved. Whoa, buddy. Whoa. Everybody, one day, will call Jesus Christ Yahweh. I am. I was listening to a program the other day, and I don't even know this lady. Maybe some of you know who this lady is. Her name is Kathy Griffin. I think she's a comedian. But I was reading this. She has a TV program that won the 2000 Primetime Emmy Awards. And when she found out that she won, this is what she said. Can you believe this blank? Hell has frozen over. Blank Jesus, this award is my God now. Now, I don't even know who Kathy Griffin is. Maybe some of y'all can help me out. Maybe you know who she is. This award is my God now. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I thank God that I did that. I thank God that I gave my life to Christ, that I acknowledged him as Lord. It says, every knee shall bow. Everyone. Now, this is a metaphor. It's called a metonymy. And actually, it represents, the knee bowed represents submission. Every tongue will confess. This is another metonymy, which means you will acknowledge the authority of Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow in submission. Every tongue will confess the authority of Jesus Christ. I might be burning in hell. I might be gritting my teeth. I might be shaking my fist in the face of God, but for 1 minute, I'm going to come to my, for 1 minute, I'm going to come to my senses, and I'm going to bow my knee, and I'm going to confess with my tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord. There was a commercial years ago, the Midas commercial. And the essence of the commercial was this, that if you bring your car to Midas right now, you can get a good muffler and never have to worry about it again. Or you can go to another place and get it broke down and have to come to us anyways. And it ended up with the saying, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. I'm here to tell you, if you've already acknowledged Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you've paid him now. If you haven't, you better do it, because one day you're going to pay. One day you're going to acknowledge him.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of God is Working in You So You Can Work It Out, Part 1. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, From Humiliation to Exaltation, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request From Humiliation to Exaltation. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request From Humiliation to Exaltation. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.